How are your teeth? Hopefully you keep them in pretty good shape, because your teeth are both a critical everyday tool and a marvel of evolution. In fact, when teeth first came on the scene about 500 million years ago, they allowed vertebrates to spread around the world and thrive in just about any environment. Bill Shutt tells this story in the new book, Bite, An Incisive History of Teeth, From Hagfish to Humans. Bill is a zoologist and a research associate at the American Museum of Natural History. He's also a former biology professor and the author of 6 nonfiction and fiction books, including the New York Times Editor's Choice, Cannibalism, A Perfectly Natural History. Here he is to share 5 of his big ideas.
Hi, my name is Bill Shutt, and I'm a zoologist and the author of popular science books like Cannibalism, A Perfectly Natural History, and Pump, A Natural History of the Heart. Today I'm going to share 5 insights from my new book, Bite, An Incisive History of Teeth, From Hagfish to Humans. Insight number 1. The evolution of teeth some 500 million years ago, and the adaptations that teeth have gone through since then, have been key to the success of the vertebrates. Part of what makes science so interesting is that there's often debate. This usually begins when some scientist type asks a question like, where did teeth come from? There are 2 hypotheses concerning teeth or tooth origins. One is that they evolved from bony bumps or scales on the outside of some ancient fish body. Over many generations, some of these gradually migrated into the mouth, eventually taking on new roles as teeth. Hypothesis number 2 is that teeth evolved from bony bumps located inside some ancient fish body, which moved forward and into the mouth where, okay, you know where this is going. The jury is still out, but the outside-in hypothesis has an edge in the evidence department. Some scientists, though, think that both hypotheses might be right, in which case teeth might have evolved on separate occasions by different means. We should remember that as new information comes in, even the strongest hypothesis is subject to tweakage or even major modification. That's pretty much how science works. But whatever teeth were doing before they were teeth, once card-carrying teeth appeared on the scene, they evolved rapidly, taking on various shapes and sizes and numbers. At first in the ocean, and then as some vertebrates paddled out to begin exploring the land, teeth and the jaws that held them in place enabled myriad creatures to chow down in every new environment they encountered and on every form of nutrition. Though there were certainly additional adaptations contributing to the success of the vertebrates, like the chain-link backbone that gives them their name, teeth are certainly near the top of that list. Insight number 2. Teeth have evolved into a dizzying array of forms, including specialized forms like tusks and fangs. Some vertebrates have evolved teeth associated with highly specialized diets, enabling them to feed on things that other animals can't. The teeth of horses are long and continue to grow over the life of the animal. This means that horses can process tough-to-digest grass, which would otherwise grow in shorter, non-growing teeth down to the nub. Vampire bats have ultra-sharp incisors and canines that allow them to inflict painless bites on their sleeping or oblivious prey. Fangs are specialized teeth used in predation, self-defense, or display. A 6-foot Gaboon viper can have fangs up to 2 inches in length. Connected to venom glands in the snake's skull, these are the original hypodermic needles, delivering enough venom to kill 30 full-grown human adults. On the plus side, venom-derived medications, like the antihypertensive captopril, save thousands of lives each year. The medical benefits from animal venoms and toxins, most of which have yet to be studied, are reasons to be careful not to drive some creatures to extinction just because they're potentially harmful to us. Tusks are modified incisors or canines found in elephants, walruses, pigs, and some species of deer. Narwhals, whale-like mammals, possess a single clockwise spiraling tusk that they use during jousting and as sensory organs, thought to provide them with information on water salinity, handy when searching for breaks in the Arctic ice through which they can surface and breathe. Other vertebrates experience different dental destinies as their ancestors evolved into pigs, bears, raccoons, and humans. Rather than dietary specialists, these omnivores can exist on a variety of food types. Plants, meat, you name it. These opportunists can pound it down. The omnivores and their versatile Swiss Army teeth have an edge when environments change, food gets scarce, or competition with other species gets serious. Insight number three. Although teeth are by far the most common vertebrate fossils, their value extends far beyond providing information on ancient animals. Although probably 99% of vertebrate species that have ever lived are now extinct, their teeth often live on, at least as fossils. That's because teeth are composed of the bony material dentin, covered by the hardest substance found in the vertebrate body, a mineral salt called enamel. Teeth also have microscopically small pores on their surface. After they get buried by sediment, water can seep into these pores, carrying with it minerals that eventually solidify, making the fossil teeth even harder and more resistant to the elements. It also helps that extinct animals like dinosaurs, as well as sharks and alligators, could grow and shed hundreds and even thousands of teeth over a lifetime, a fact that often compels fossil collectors to break out into what is known in the trade as the happy dance. As a result of their durability and their relative abundance in the fossil record, teeth have been vitally important in identifying many new species of extinct vertebrates. In some instances, teeth are the only evidence that these creatures ever existed. Scientists, though, are now utilizing teeth, both fossilized and the more recent variety, to tell stories that go beyond the identification of their owners. Teeth provide researchers with information on diet, ecology, climate change, and even the weather patterns that existed while the tooth owner was chopping away. And let's remember that the tales told by teeth often include human characters. In these instances, teeth have been especially helpful in recording disease conditions that affect teeth, like syphilis, and providing clues about periods of famine and war. Insight number four. George Washington, who had but a single tooth when he became president of the newly minted United States, owned at least four sets of dentures over his adult life. Okay, let's get this out of the way right up front. There's absolutely no evidence that any of the uncomfortable contraptions that George Washington wore in his mouth were made out of wood. Even so, and fortunately for me, the story of Washington's dismal dentition turned out to be both fascinating and controversial. In the mid to late 18th century, ivory turners and metalsmiths were often enlisted to create replacements for teeth that had been falling out of unhappy mouths with far greater frequency than ever before. This dramatic increase in both cavities and tooth loss coincided with the newly widespread use of refined sugar, which had been a rare import. The establishment of sugar plantations in places like Louisiana also tracked the rise of dentistry as a profession. But dental appliances did not originate in Europe or the colonies. Instead, the first evidence of their existence dates to pre-Roman times by the Etruscans, who lived in what is now Italy, and who had some very flamboyant customs related to mouth bling. By George Washington's time, dentures sold by so-called dentistes or surgeon dentists were composed of different combinations of wire, metal springs, rivets, and lead. The teeth were usually carved from those formerly residing in the mouth of cows or horses. They were the most popular. But elephant tusks were also used, as were those of hippos. Some of these dentures also contained human teeth purchased from poor people who had them yanked without anesthesia before selling them, as depicted in Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. Teeth were also extracted from recently deceased, like those stolen from the battlefield dead. In the early 19th century Europe, these became known as Waterloo teeth after the famous battle. In researching teeth, I also ran smack into a recent and serious controversy over the origin of human teeth found in George Washington's dentures, four pairs of which survive today. Washington held several hundred enslaved people at his plantation in Mount Vernon, and some of them apparently sold their teeth to local dentists, including Washington's. Finally, insight number five. Exciting dental-related research is paving the way for new techniques and technology that will make trips to the dentist less frequent and, just as importantly, less traumatic. Advancing dental therapies related to stem cells, gene therapy, and new medications may soon make unpleasant dental procedures obsolete. For example, in Japan, human trials will begin this fall on a new experimental drug researchers believe will regenerate missing teeth or stimulate them to grow in instances where they have failed to emerge. Elsewhere, researchers are working to make composite tooth fillings unnecessary by using so-called regenerative fillings. These are designed to stimulate native stem cell populations in a patient's jaw to repair and regrow dentin and enamel in damaged regions of a tooth. Other researchers are examining baby teeth that have fallen out. They hope to provide professionals with an early warning system that can serve as a predictor of mental disorders that could potentially show up during adolescence. Finally, scientists are exploring the connection between the presence of a common tooth and gum-related bacterium and the occurrence of Alzheimer's disease. The thought here is that the bacteria are able to invade the brain where they release chemicals called gingipanes, an enzyme that breaks down proteins. Some researchers believe that gingipanes are also involved in the production of amyloid plaques, the hard clumps of misfolded protein that accumulate in the brain, disrupting its function in Alzheimer's patients. Stay tuned. Well, those are five of my many tooth-related insights, and I hope you'll find them in Bite. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the book. I'll leave you now with a single word that's become something of a mantra to me as I've researched and wrote my book, Water Pick.
Thank you, Bill. That was Bill Shutt with five big ideas from Bite, An Incisive History of Teeth, From Hagfish to Humans. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.